Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 7th of April, recording at 2:30 a.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time, and I'm doing that to replace the audio that I had recorded at 9:15 on Wednesday, the 6th. My apologies to those of you who tried to listen to that audio, because you weren't able to get any sound, because in the nightmare that can occasionally befall all of us, or at least this chap who makes recordings, is that the on button can inadvertently be switched to off, the on button on the cable. So there we are, but unfortunately, I spotted it and am happy to do this replacement audio. Now, Wednesday, it was a good day in the China region. The Chinese group of stock markets, which had been closed for a couple of days, reopened with some decent gains. The sector was, again, the whole Asian sector was quite firm, except for Japan, which was down very slightly. The European stock markets also saw some decent gains, not least some of the troubled periphery markets, such as Spain and Italy. In the Americas, we had a quieter performance. Wall Street did close with very modest gains, a quarter of a point on average for the indices. Canada down slightly, Brazil down 1.15%. That was probably the weakest stock market, or at least that I've observed on the day. But not a big move, as you can see, at 1.15%. Now, long-dated government bond prices had eased, particularly in the U.S., where the long bond was down nearly a point. The U.S. dollar was soft, weakening pretty well against everything except the yen, and the yen is by far the weakest currency overall right now. Not surprising, that. And precious metals. We had some good follow-through early on to yesterday's gains, and then prices slipped back a little bit. Gold closed on late Wednesday evening at just under the 460 level, and as I'm seeing it in the Asian trading now, just slightly lower than that. Right now. And among the industrial metals, we had some very strong gains there, led by lead. But they all packed in. Copper, for instance, the New York copper was up 10 cents. The nickel price, good upward dynamic, up over $1,000, taking it up to $26,400. So solid performance. Quieter action in the soft commodities. Crude oil was a little bit firmer in for the WTI contract, but about 108.5. And the Brent crude just eased a fraction, but it was still up over 122. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, you know the swings that we've seen in markets over the last month and a half or so, and that is that markets started to weaken in late February, and then had that quite stock markets that is had that quite sharp sell-off in the first half of March, in response to a number of black swan items, starting with the Arab uprisings, which caused a moderate spike in the price of crude oil, and then, of course, the tragedy of the Japan earthquake and tsunami, and the serious and still resolved, unresolved problems at the Fukushima nuclear plants. So that hit markets hard, but they also rebounded quite quickly, and that's impressive overall. Now, factors that are contributing to the rebound, one is that real interest rates, beg your pardon, I would say that interest rates remain negative. That is, they are below the rates of inflation in most countries. We also have the Fed's QE2, which doesn't end until June. We have more recently had quantitative easing from Japan in response to its crisis. And then I think we've also had a fair amount of shifting away from bonds, particularly by investors in the USA, which had been heavily overweight in the fixed interest sector when there was all the talk of a depression. And those investors have gradually been moving out of bonds. And of course, most of that money is going into, well, not of course, but I think the fact is that most of that money is going into equities, and the trends indicate that. Well, where does that leave us today? My assessment is that we have a number of short-term overbought indicators just in the short term, and not least in the USA stock market, which saw less of a mean reversion towards its 200-day moving average than some of the other markets that we follow particularly closely. For instance, the Asian stock markets had commenced their mean reversion consolidation earlier on. They led on the upside, led on the way down in the correction. So often happens, the leaders lead in both directions. But those Asian stock markets, having corrected really from about November onwards, have in the last few weeks seen significant rebounds up off those MAs, with some of them actually moving through to new high ground. And in Asia, that includes Thailand, which is the first to do so, then South Korea, and so many of the others, particularly in the leading ASEAN sector, are right up near their highs. That's impressive action. Wall Street, on the other hand, didn't really commence its mean reversion consolidation, having been slower to move up. It was then very strong from September into late February when it began to weaken a little bit. So my feeling is that this short-term overbought condition will cause a reaction on Wall Street, and I'm positioned for that, of course. So I'm talking in my book with a moderate-sized hedge short position there. But I'm very aware of the overall fact that we are still in a cyclical bull market here, and I mentioned several powerful trends in terms of liquidity that are helping to sustain markets here. So I'm only looking for a moderate pullback overall. Now, the other factor that I've been mentioning constantly in these audios is that the big risk for stock markets remains commodity price inflation, particularly regarding crude oil, although food prices are also highly emotive. If you wanted any additional evidence for that, just look at how frequently that was mentioned by food prices were mentioned by people demonstrating in the Middle East. And of course, the demonstrations haven't just been in the Middle East. So that is still a problem. And while commodities are notoriously volatile, we do know that that background, overall background, is of a secular bull market in commodities. And if we were to see another spike in crude oil, I have there's little doubt in my mind that would weigh on stock markets generally and could trigger another correction. At the moment, I'm only looking for some reactions, relatively small reactions and consolidations. But the crude prices remain high, as you know. And they remain high not because demand is going up, but because there has been a supply disruption. And while the Saudis have stepped forward to, as the swing producer, to offset, in other words, replace the Libyan crude, which is no longer flowing. It's a different type of crude. It's the heavier, more sulfurous crude oil rather than the light sweet variety, as they call it, that Libya produced. But I think the main factor behind the firmer price in oil is that investors and traders recognize that the supply situation is tight right now. And so they've gone back into those tracker funds, and that's also against the background of this general strength of gold hitting a new nominal high yesterday, as you know, and a bit of follow-through here today. So it's more of a speculative flow of funds into oil. I'm reasonably certain that are causing the higher prices. But as we've said before, while it may only be speculative activity that's pushing the price up, the actual impact of that is real. People feel it, whether filling their petrol tanks of whatever vehicles they drive, or in terms of heating oil. And this is definitely a headwind for stock markets, and they've shown resilience here quite recently. But I wonder if it isn't possibly a little bit like the cartoon characters who are racing along and run off the cliff and keep going for a few yards and then pause and look down and then suddenly tumble. Certainly, if we get crude oil continuing to push higher here in the short term, that will trigger the reactions in stock markets that we last saw in March. Okay. Looking at the long-dated government bond prices, just to review very quickly, we maintain that the yields are in an overall base-building phase, and that yields will move higher over, possibly not in the short term, although they could. But will definitely move higher over the medium to longer term. And they've been held down artificially by all the quantitative easing and the lingering fears about global GDP growth. But the evidence is clearly that the recovery is, the Asian-led recovery is continuing. And so the big picture view that we hold is that the previous bull market in long-dated government bonds, and it was a long one, starting really back in September 1981 and running right on through into 2009, that is now well and truly over. That long trend of falling yields, and the yields, as I say, are now in a base-building stage prior to moving upwards. And of course, the move upwards in yields means that bond futures prices come down, and we are looking for a secular bear market. But these transition phases from bull to bear cycle do take time, and so, as I say, we're in this ranging phase. Having described it as a base for the yields, the Kind of flip side of that is top formation development for the bond futures prices. Now, in terms of currencies, the big story remains the weak yen, and that's a bit of respite for Japan, which really did need a weaker yen. I think that's also encouraged the carry trade a little bit, and that may be a factor in some of the resilience that we've seen in global stock markets. I think the yen will trend weaker, although not on a consecutive day basis, obviously. But where we have, for instance, we're currently trading against the US dollar at 85.34 yen to the US dollar. I think this will go back above 90, and quite possibly, probably this year. And remember, we had that brief spike down to 76, I believe, before the multilateral intervention came in. And once again, the multilateral intervention has been successful, and I believe it will remain so. Or I don't think they'll need to do any more intervention. Because they've successfully turned the market around, and now traders are coming in and supporting the trend. And indeed, I'm doing that myself with a dollar long against the Japanese yen. Now, the dollar is also still a weak currency, so I could have chosen better candidates to do that, and some of you have, and because every currency is moving up against the yen. My concern is that the dollar may not start to pick up until the Fed begins to signal that it's going to begin a gradualist move back to normalization of short-term interest rates, and that would mean, of course, raising them somewhat. That's not going to happen in the very short term, but we are going to see a rate hike by the ECB minimally. I don't think we'll get many of them, but they will start. And my guess is that the UK will also start before the Fed moves on rates. But with the dollar short-term rates least likely to be moved higher, and with the dollar still in a soft trend, particularly against the Asian currencies and the commodity-producing country currencies, we have the prospect of some further short to medium-term easing in the greenback. My feeling is that that there's no other major fundamental justification for the dollar going lower at this level, so we may see more ranging than easing, but I don't see any kind of significant US dollar rally, as I say, until traders do begin to assume that US interest rates have begun to rise or are about to begin to rise. I've covered crude oil prices. I've covered precious metals. See, I mentioned, I think, that the industrial metals are awfully strong, and that's being reflected in support for the mining shares generally. And that's a trend that I see continuing, with the exception of the uranium miners, which are going to have to go through a support building process following the sharp drop and in response to the Fukushima situation. My feeling is that for patient investors, they are now recovery candidates once again, and for people who missed the last run-up, they offer potential for the longer term on the upside, but we're going to have to be patient, as I've said before. So, I think I better go home and go to sleep, and look forward to seeing what's happening. I can already see that Asia's opened up a little bit firmer. Meanwhile, all the best. And again, apologies for the delayed audio.